Good morning, it is good to be with you again. Today, again, we take one of the minor prophets, Haggai, in this instance, to discover things that aren't often talked about from the scriptures, and unfortunately, so many people don't read what we call the minor prophets, but they're some of the shortest books and easiest to start with, and it also dovetails with a lot of history that we've probably heard of in school, at least I did growing up. And as it dovetails with the scriptural account of history, as we call it. This one starts in the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Now, this is roughly considered about 587 BC is when Nebuchadnezzar took everybody into captivity. So about 539 BC. Where Cyrus has defeated the Babylonians and Darius is king, and he's saying that one of the ways the Persians governed was allow people to have their own worship, to do their own thing as long as they, you know, paid tribute and things that they have to do and not revolt against the empire. In fact, Cyrus is credited as having one of the largest empires of the world at that particular point. His empire stretched from Egypt through the Indus Valley in Asia, taking up many countries that we now talk about today with their differences. But it's a huge amount of land for that time period particularly. No other kingdom had been that large. He does fall to Alexander the Great. Well, their empire falls to Alexander the Great later on. But it is interesting that all these things dovetail together with what we call secular history and religious history. But it is this unique perspective of Cyrus and the Persian Empire to allow people that have been conquered to worship as they please, worship the gods they please, as long as they don't cause revolt against their empire. Something that many people could take a lesson from in today's world. There are many countries where it's you worship their way or die, very simply. Or if you don't worship the way they want you to, you die. It's a tough thing to be able to live in that perspective, especially when you start to have thoughts or realize that maybe that way of worshiping isn't right, or that God isn't right. And that's part of what we have within the scriptures, the realization that the God that the Jews have been chosen from, with starting with Abraham and the belief in this one God as the in all and of all, and throughout time, up through this time period, the Jewish people, the Israelites, have been chastised, have been captured, have been beaten, have been killed, but they still persist. And many other people groups that we read of not only in the Bible but of in history have just flat out disappeared and been destroyed utterly. So that's one of the evidences in Judaism, at least, that there is a God, because they have been preserved through all the things of history, including our modern day and what we call the Holocaust. So this is where they're at. They're being allowed to return to Jerusalem from their captivity in Babylon to rebuild their temple, rebuild their homes, and to practice their life and their religion as they used to before they were taken into exile by the Babylonians. So here they are. They've been working a little while now on rebuilding the temple, rebuilding their homes and such. And God tells Haggai, hey, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Zadok, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Now consider, first of all, this is also very unique to the time period, as well as certainly not the way a lot of people look at life today in most countries. First of all, you're taking the political leader, right? The son of the governor. So that's the political family and rulers. They're the ones that also interface with Cyrus and other kingdoms as time goes on to try to keep political peace. But also the son of the high priest. So now we also have the religious side of things to work together. And then it says to the remnant of the people. Throughout scriptures, if you as you read them, you'll see God always talking about a remnant. The remnant that is left, because through time, through war, through the sin of people, as well as the sin of the nation itself, people are destroyed and they lose their lives. And God has always made sure there's a remnant to carry it on afterwards to do His will. And so this remnant that has come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and their lives and become again what we would call Israel or Judah at the moment, to build. But they're not getting very far. It is kind of interesting when you see it this way. So Haggai points out, who of you is left who saw this house, and here he's talking about the temple, saw it in its former glory? Now they've been in captivity for 70 years. So if there is anybody in that group that remembers the temple, they're old. They're very old. And so he's really doing a reach here, but evidently there's people there that remember how glorious the temple looked before it was desecrated, before all the temple items were taken out of there, the gold, the silver, the cedar floors, and everything else. And so he says, does it not seem to you like nothing? It's just a shell. It's just, you know, what's left of it. There's things broken. There's holes in the wall. It just doesn't look as glorious as it used to be. And I can think of a lot of things like this, like 9/11, when Twin Towers fail. It was just totally demolished. And I can imagine the people going, well, you know, why even try? It's just rubble. And that's what they're probably looking at here. This has all been destroyed, looted. How can we possibly go from here and rebuild? Or as I look at today's world, with those in Ukraine trying to rebuild and strengthen what they do have because of the war that's being waged against them, it would be very easy to lose hope. And that's why God is having Haggai now grab these people, put them together, and let's talk to them. And so he continues, but now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua Zozan, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, this is sort of a pep talk in a lot of ways. But he's telling the religious side and the political side and the people in general, you got to be strong. You can't give up. You have to have hope. God is with you. God's leading the way. And think of what God has done for you. You have to realize that. You have to think about that. That is what, he continues, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. So God, through Haggai here, is pointing out, I've been with you in the past. You came out of terrible things in Egypt, and you built and became a great nation. Bad things have happened, but I'm still here. I am still with you. I've made a promise to you, but I want you to work. Stop being pessimistic about it. Stop looking at it and thinking that it can't be done when it can be. It is a matter of perspective and hope. And I find that interesting when you think about some of the instances throughout your own life, our lives together, or even nation and various nationalities and how people look at things. But one interesting perspective I heard this week that I really find unique and would work with this perspective. If you remember Goliath and all of Saul's armies, were sort of called on the carpet by Goliath saying, you send me one person, and when I kill him, you all work for us. And if they defeat me, then we'll work for you. And everybody in the army was going, he's too big. There's nobody here that can fight him. They were hopeless because they saw the size of the task, this giant, Goliath, and they didn't know what to do, and they didn't trust God. From the other perspective, here's David going, he's a big guy. He's an easy target. It's just a matter of perspective. You know, it's easier to hit a large target than it is to hit a small target. Not that that's really what he thought. I don't know. It's not recorded in the scriptures. But it is certainly a perspective because David is sitting there going, God said it's possible. So why are you all afraid? And that's what Haggai's telling the people right now. God is with you. Be strong. Get to work. It'll be rebuilt. You know, they're worried about money or how they're going to get stones. God's provided all that in the past. Why are you worried about it? Let's do what God told us to do. And I can't help but think in our daily lives, isn't that a true statement? We go through our days going, ugh, it is too hard for me to sit here and go and talk with somebody about God, or it's too hard for me to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes to pray for somebody else when I have my own worries. I have all my own things to worry about. Whose side are we on? God's asked us to work, to trust Him, but He's asked us to do our part. And that part is to pray and to work with one another, to uplift one another, to strengthen one another. It isn't to give up. It isn't to be hopeless. The world does that. The world tells us we're hopeless, we're useless, we're no good. And some families do that, and it's terrible. It is not the way of God to treat anyone that way. We're meant to be encouragers. We're meant to be uplifters. We're meant to be supportive. We're meant to work together side by side to build the kingdom of God. And remember, what God has done in the past, He does in the present, and He'll continue to do into the future. And that's the next part that comes out of this scripture. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. In a little while, so the future, while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. So they build this temple. They're going to rebuild the temple. And this is the temple that ends up being the one that Jesus walks in. The one that Jesus spreads the gospel, teaches what's supposed to happen, and shakes all nations. And we understand not only through the crucifixion, but in many other acts of God throughout the world, not just in Israel, not just in the Roman Empire, but the world was shook by this change of thought. This way of treating one another that many religions just didn't teach. And it is still this one religion, this religion that believes in a single God versus the polytheistic gods that continued to exist all the way through Jesus' time. And God is working to prove to everybody, to show everybody, there is but one God in this world. He has protected this people. He has guided this people. And any who will follow Him, and that was Jesus' message, isn't it? Any who will follow me or my Father's house. That's the call to each of us, that we not be hopeless, but we glory in what God has provided, not only in the former things that He's created in the temple, the second temple that was also destroyed by the Romans, but we understand the third temple, the final temple that we built in Jerusalem. And we have a temple in Independence. And I find it interesting because some of this same thing was said in preparation for building the temple in Independence. This is too big a task for this tiny church. And yet it rose. And it stands as a beacon to the nations, as a promise of God to all people, that there can be peace. The word used in Haggai is actually the word shalom. Some people translated that in their versions of the Bible as prosperity, that God will promise them prosperity. But the Greek word is shalom. I mean, the Hebrew word is shalom. And that is what God promises, that peace. Peace means that we can live together. It doesn't mean we all have to do the same thing or plant the same stuff in our gardens. But it means that we have peace. There's no fear of war. There's no fear of things being taken by somebody else. there's peace. And I would like to think there's peace of mind, there's peace of thought, and that we can learn together and do things together. That's what the Lord declares to them here, trying to rebuild the temple, to make something out of the shambles they see. And God calls us to make the shambles of our life, as they are, as we think they're insurmountable, but to trust Him. Because He is the author of our life. He created each one of us for purpose. And He calls each one of us to get to work. Stop listening to the naysayers. Stop thinking the battle is too big, too onerous, that it's impossible to do. Because that's not God's way. For nothing is impossible when God is on your side. May God strengthen you and bless you, and I pray that you would read through the book of Haggai and learn more of what God has to say to each of us as we trudge forth towards peace and our trust in the Lord of hosts. Amen.